All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
What's up?
All right, David, listen. Yeah. We got to talk.
Oh, David's over.
I just want to say, if we're supposed to only watch trailers from this year, you should have told me only this year. I saw this trailer. I thought it looked fantastic. It was from 2015, which, of course, I totally knew.
Did you really?
No. And I was like, oh, let me comment on this four-year-old trailer.
Here's the thing. I didn't know that it was from 4 years ago either.
So you were just content to sit by and let the interweb mock me to death.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. I was one of those things where I was like, I wish I would have been the one to find out. But everyone else pointed it out first. So
What I have not done, we're talking about this movie called The Wave.
Mm-hmm.
Which
looks fantastic.
Which looks fantastic. It's like a Norwegian disaster film or something like that. And I reviewed the trailer last week as if it was new. And, of course, we found out afterwards, thanks mostly to Private Dave. I think he broke the story.
Yeah.
But then everybody else was piling on also. But Dave's always the quickest. But anyway, now what I haven't done, but I want to do, and I will do, and I'll report on it next week. So I'm committing to this.
Okay.
I want to watch a movie. I don't know how I'm going to find this movie. Maybe I'll try to buy it on Blu-ray if that's the only place it's available. And
I did tag the Facebook page in our post, so maybe you can find more info there.
Nice.
Yeah. So did you watch the trailer for The Wave, the one that I talked about?
No, I was too pissed off. I was too jerked by the whole thing because I was like, I spent 2.5 minutes of a perfectly good day, you know, which, as you know, we don't have infinite minutes, no, David.
Everyone has the same amount.
We only have so many minutes in the day. Right? And I was like, I already spent 2.5 minutes on this movie called Wave and ended up being mocked and ridiculed for those 2.5 minutes. What's going to happen if I invest another two? And now we're up to 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. You'll never get those back.
Come on.
You got bagels at home.
They don't. Right,
waiting for you.
Right, man. I don't got time for the Wave.
Well, you know what Wave you do have time for?
Talk to me.
The Wave of Nostalgia coming to the new Jurassic Park movie, Jurassic World 3. Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern, and Sam Neill are all on board for the next Jurassic World. And reportedly, not just a small cameo like Goldblum had in the second one, where he was just, you know, in court or whatever. Like, legit back. How do you feel about that?
Well, here's my question. Mm-hmm. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Is Laura Dern the most awkward leading lady actress in Hollywood?
She always looks uncomfortable.
She always looks uncomfortable. She makes me uncomfortable. I'm worried. This is a movie, not a stage production, and I'm worried she's going to forget her lines.
Really?
Like, I'm watching this movie going, oh, she's not going to remember her next line.
She just needs to stand around and look regal like she did in Star Wars?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like her in Star Wars. I didn't like her in Jurassic Park. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, she's fine. She's talented. And she's one of these people who I end up liking the movies that she's in. And she's obviously an incredibly talented actor because she puts on these great performances.
Yeah.
But as soon as I see her name written anywhere, I think, like, oh, my God, I hope she remembers her line.
She always does have that little bit of a lost look, like her smile.
Yeah,
like she's a little bit like not with what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's funny.
And then the opposite end of the spectrum, Jeff Goldblum, one of the most comfortable actors in the history of Hollywood. I mean, this guy is great.
You often wonder if he's even acting.
Right.
Or he thinks everything that's going on is real. Right. It's just how he would react.
Did you guys see that?
Life finds a way.
Right. Jeff Goldblum is the kind of actor, like, I want to be friends with him. Like, I think we would have a good time.
That's why I think we're both on board with that show he's coming out.
Yeah.
What is it? The Life of Goldblum or whatever. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. All right. This is another one. I feel like this is going to be big for you. Dean DeBlois. I'm definitely nailing that name.
I hope this has something to do with Paramount.
Oh, it definitely has something to do with Paramount. He directed the How to Train a Dragon trilogy.
Okay, a great trilogy.
Great trilogy.
Terrific.
Right?
So far, so good. I like this.
Right?
Where you're going with this.
He's now attached to write and direct a Micronauts film.
Now, I believe on previous episodes,
mm-hmm.
this is where if we had like a cool sound machine, like a voiceover would interject and be like, previously on the Penn Cinema podcast. And they would cut to us discussing the difference between Transformers and Micronauts.
Right.
Right. Transformers were sort of full size toys.
No, this is what we got wrong.
Oh.
Remember? We were like, We got Transformers and GoBots.
GoBots. That's what it was.
Micronauts were like little guys that sat in the heads of robots.
Oh.
Like little tiny action figures that sat in the heads of normal-sized action figure robots.
You just blew my mind.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Because they were micro.
I wonder if there's a Micronaut sitting inside my mind. That could explain a lot.
Are you sure it's not just spider webs and empty gears? No one's sitting there.
There's nobody at the wheel, folks.
That explains more.
Now, that is a much more, that makes all the sense in the world. My God, Captain, there's nobody there. I knew it.
The whole time.
All right, so Micronauts are these little...
And you know what? I bet you I'm even getting it wrong again, but I know it's not Transformers and GoBots.
Okay.
That
part we're not going down another Transformers road.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's a toy line.
Right.
Maybe it'll have a Playmobile.
Playmobile. Maybe they'll sell this content to STX.
Because don't they do harder stuff?
They're doing Playmobile.
Oh, they're doing Playmobile.
Yeah. They do kid stuff. Not good kid stuff.
But they
per
do
se.
Kid stuff. Okay. Touche.
Touche, mon frère.
What kind of news do you got for me?
Wait a minute. That's it? We're done? This guy is directing a Micronauts film?
Look,
Who's the studio behind this?
Paramount.
Paramount. Thank God. Because they did so great with Transformers.
Yeah. Well, they did good with the first one.
True. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Have they lost the right to be trusted with a toy franchise? With anything?
With anything?
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I need to know for next week. Oh, now I have two homework assignments. And I've always hated homework, but whatever. I got to see what's on. What are they working on? Like, what's coming out?
Are you going to just hand me a paper that says, what is Paramount working on? A big text, and then next line by Pan Ketchum.
Right.
And at the end, I'm like, oh, see next page. And there's nothing
there. Next pamphlet. Well, the thing is, this is the studio that sends us those unsolicited emails with, like, update your calendar. The release date for our 2023 title has been moved 1 week. And yet, despite all those frequent emails, I still have no idea what's on their slate.
I don't know. What's the last thing Paramount did that was great?
The first Transformers.
Well, they do the Star Trek movies, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I like those.
Those were good. Those were good.
You don't have to.
You know, Paramount, here's the thing. Paramount actually, I'm sitting here being a jerk, but the truth is Paramount has good movies. I just don't really trust them with big franchises anymore. Like, they'll put one-offs out there, and I'm struggling to remember which one. But, like, I just know we've had some good Paramount movies this year, but not necessarily, like, I don't get excited when I hear that company, that business, is in charge of a given franchise.
Mm. My aunt was a Paramount exec. So I'm going to hear about this later.
This is awkward.
Maybe she doesn't listen. But let's hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people we've offended who, like, if they listened, they'd be really jerks.
Podcast@pensiva.com. Let us know if we hurt your feelings.
Right. All right. Well, listen, speaking of tough guys, Sylvester Stallone, who we're going to talk about later, right?
Yeah.
In Rambo Bambino.
Rambabino.
Sly is attached a star in Samaritan, which is an original thriller from Overlord director Julius Avery, which, according to the show notes here, Julius Avery is a young boy in which a young boy is out to discover if a mythic superhero. Think that's Sly?
No, I think. Oh, yeah. I guess Sly must be the hero. Yeah.
The young boy, probably played by Shia LaBeouf. Either that or Ron Howard.
Is he a young boy anymore? Yeah, just Ron Howard. Now.
Now, current, present day, is out to discover if a mythic superhero who vanished 20 years earlier that David and I are guessing is Stallone. He'd vanished 20 years earlier following a tragic event, whether or not he's still alive. I'm cool with this. I like Stallone. And I love him doing original, like, new content.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Stallone's not always in great movies, but I think that he is a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, he surprises me sometimes because I think of him as just kind of macho man, whatever.
Right.
That you give him, like, a good, like, moving soliloquy or whatever, and he can pull it off. And, you feel the emotion in his face and everything. And so I'm all about giving him something like this and seeing where it goes. Now, what do you know about this director? Did you see Overlord?
I did not. I was just sitting here thinking I want to see it now.
I mean, I heard it was good from people who like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was more horror, zombie craziness. I'd be interested in seeing it to see how it is.
Sylvester Stallone in Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
That was some incredible acting. Yeah. When he stands on the street talking to his son about why he wants to keep fighting.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
I think about that scene a lot. And that, you know, means a lot to me personally. And that to me is one of the great scenes, that, like, dramatic moments that I remember seeing in movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, period.
Even in the Creed stuff, like the emotional content there. Yeah,
he's got it great. But standing on the street with his son saying, don't That's you so want to go... stand toe-to-toe with another man and say, I am, you know, and that's badass. That's good stuff. All right. I think we got to skip that, the next two, right?
Yeah.
So, Quiet Place 2.
Yeah.
Shh.
I think you can guess wherever we are is not the Quiet Place.
Quiet Place 2 wraps production.
Yeah.
What's the deal here? Because they killed off the lead, John...
Krasinski. He's still directing.
Right.
I guess Emily Blunt's still in it.
I loved this movie, and I hated the ending, because if you remember the ending, he essentially sacrifices himself, but his sacrifice is, like, useless because the monster basically eats him and then goes after his kids.
Right.
And I feel like it was such a wasteful death.
Mm-hmm.
It served no purpose. It wasn't like Obi-Wan Kenobi, who, like, freed, you know, drew the attention away so they could, you know, turn off the tractor beam and escape the Death Star.
What only saves them, like, 30 seconds of time.
Right.
Or whatever.
And that's the lead main actor guy.
Yeah.
The main character.
Yeah. I didn't like the ending. It was so ambiguous.
Right.
If you're going to have an ambiguous ending like that, you don't have a sequel.
Right.
That's my thing.
Well, they're having a sequel, and it's wrapped.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely go see it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that I won't. I'm going to be interested.
I'll definitely go see it because the whole movie was so great.
Yeah.
And just the ending, which is one of my pet peeves. I hate a bad ending. But because the rest of it was so good, I'll definitely go see it.
Yeah. It was an interesting world to live in. Okay. We all know how much... I love Star Wars.
Do we? Do we, David?
I think we do.
I'm going to have to ask you for your Star Wars card back.
Oh. What?
When people ask me, tell me about the podcast. I'm like, yeah, I do it with David Moulton. And they're like, he does a movie podcast? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but I thought he hated Star Wars.
Yeah, they know who I am instantly. Yeah, the guy who doesn't like Star
that's
Wars?
That's the guy that hates Star Wars, right? The guy. The one guy. Right. Right. Yeah, and guess what? He also hates baseball, so what's so up? What's up? And he doesn't like apple pie either, so piss off.
Then they start crying. Where's America? Right.
Doesn't he believe in anything? And then I tell him about the Micronauts, and they're like, oh, jeez.
Can't even get that right.
Yeah. And then I tell them about Dune, and they're like, oh, all right.
I get it.
The guy's all right.
Finally makes sense.
Does he walk around with his pinkies out all the time? And I'm like, yeah, big time. All right. So that's our little lead-in to Star Wars news.
Yeah. Kevin Feige.
Didn't we previously discuss him? Wait,
ding,
previously on the Penn Cinema podcast. And then we scroll back a couple weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when I marveled.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I marveled at this man's singular importance to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how impressive that is that one guy could have such a positive influence, not just on a movie or a franchise, but an incredible freaking universe.
And we talked about how Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah.
Is not as effective as he is over the Star Wars universe.
I think you just assumed that. I think you said that.
I'm saying it now.
And then because I did not call you out, now you're saying we.
You figured out how it works.
It only took me 36 weeks.
If you don't disagree, then you obviously agree.
Obviously, we're all on board.
Yeah, so now I originally wrote this down. He was directing a Star Wars film, but he's not directing, he's developing a Star Wars film. So I guess executive producer.
Has he directed anything?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's in the same way that he guides the Marvel movies.
Which is great. He's obviously good at that.
Yeah.
Understatement of the week.
Right. So I'm wondering, like they say it's unrelated to the Rian Johnson movies that are coming out and unrelated to the other series that is coming out. I forget who's doing that one. But this is – I read it and I thought this is great. And then I read, I wonder if this is how they start to phase Kathleen Kennedy out. Like they give him one movie.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, well, that was really good. Let's give you another movie. Next thing you know, he's got a subdivision of the franchise. And then they're like, well, he's doing so good over here. Why not have him head up, you know, the main ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me curious as to...
How is this not the best news for Star Wars fans in years?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Amazing news.
Like, I know we kid around, but I know that in your heart, under all the hate, I know there's a lot of love for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I know that you love Star Wars. So as a real Star Wars fan...
I'm so excited for this.
It's great news.
Yeah. Look, to be fair, I don't hate Star Wars. I hate Star Wars in its current state.
No, I don't even think that's true. I think you hated what? Which one did you hate? The Last Jedi?
Last Jedi.
Yeah, you had a problem with one movie, and it's fun to tease you about it.
Right.
But I know you don't hate Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
And so as a fellow Star Wars fan, even though you bet on Avengers in the Ultimate Wager, I think that you joined me in thinking this is great news.
I think it's amazing news. I think I find it hard to believe that this could turn sour.
I wonder, somebody's going to find a way to make this, to like, knock this down.
You know, there was a time before he was in, like, full control that he was producing some of the less great Marvel films. But he wasn't in full control, and I think that even without him, they probably would have been much worse.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. One of my favorite he's an A-list actor, but he's not like Robert Downey Jr. or Star Wars or anything like that. Jason Bateman from Arrested Development.
I love Jason Bateman.
Oh, my God.
He's so funny.
Why is he so funny? Is it because he's like good-looking and beautiful but also normal at the same time?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's totally relatable.
And his humor feels more genuine in a way. Like, you could make the jokes that he's making. you could be just as funny as Jason.
Well, I feel like he and I feel like his characters always end up in situations that I feel like I could end up in. You know, like
the, game night.
The stupid shit that he does is stuff that I would end up in.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Game night, horrible bosses, all those types of movies. That's exactly the kind of stupid ideas that me and my buddies get. You know. Anyway, so Jason Bateman is in talks to direct and co-star with Ryan Reynolds in the new Clue movie.
I love this news.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I think we're primed for a new Clue movie. I hope they do the same type of shenanigans they did with the other one. I mean, do you know how they put it out and it had like different endings depending mm-hmm. on what theater you went to and stuff?
Yeah.
Like that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I would love to see that kind of shenanigans go on again.
We had the hide-and-go-seek movie,
uh-huh.
which was called Ready or Not.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the better version of hide-and-go-seek, which is called Knives Out.
Right.
Knives Out, we are so excited for.
Yeah.
And next week on this show, brace yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
Next week on the show, I'm bringing in Knives Out swag, which we're going to be giving away.
Oh, my
it's
word.
It's good stuff.
Get
it's
ready. Stuff.
Yeah, so Knives we're super excited for Knives Out. I've been lobbying the studio. I'm trying to get a early screening.
Ooh.
And if we do that, we're going to give away tickets on this show.
Yes.
Stop it. No. It's true.
You. How dare you? Yeah.
All right, so Ready or Not, Knives Out. My question is, this new Clue movie.
Yeah.
Does this sort of continue? Because Knives Out is a big improvement over Ready or Not. I haven't even seen the movie and I already can tell that it's better. Is Clue going to continue that direction or is it more going to be like a straight up comedy?
Ooh. With these two guys in it, it could really go either way.
It's got to be.
It's going to be funny.
Back up. It's 100% guaranteed it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
My question is whether or not it's also like sort of intriguing and mysterious and do they play up like in a funny way? Like, is it sort of like Game Night?
I think we're going to see it like somewhere in between the two.
Yeah.
Really. I don't think it's going to be like full on like explosive comedy. I think there's going to be mystery to it because you can't have Clue without without the harder mystery.
I'm excited.
To it.
Do we have a release date?
No, I think they're still working the what's going on there.
Remember in Game Night when they beat up that guy but they all still think it's pretend and it's early in the movie and they're still back in the apartment. And the guy's like laying unconscious on the floor and everybody's like screaming, panicking. But Jason Bateman's totally not buying it.
Yeah.
And he's like, seriously, you've got to try this breeze. It's freaking brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're getting into, let's start with the Joker news.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of things going on around this Joker thing.
Because the reason why I want to keep this from, we have two big news items.
Right.
And the reason why I'm saving the other big news item is because to me, the other one is news.
Yeah.
And this one is just more like something that's happening in the world.
And we should talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay talking about it.
Yeah. So Joker's coming out and the military put out a thing like warning that people should be alert for active shooters. In theaters for whatever reason, this movie is prone to attract inactive shooter environment, which is horrible that we live in that time that has to be taken seriously. But then follow that up, Universal, right? Is the
company? Warners.
Warners. Put out a statement in the last couple days that said basically, how did it go? It was like, you know, this is a movie that deals with heavy issues and it shouldn't be taken lightly. And that it was kind of like a mental health warning type of thing. Kind of how that they weren't encouraging domestic terrorism, even though that there's domestic terrorism in the movie, that kind of thing. And the fact that like these kind of statements came out before is kind of, I don't know. I don't like that we live in that world, and I wasn't really taking it like to heart at all. And then they shut down for the red carpet event. No press allowed except for photography because they didn't want any questions about that kind of stuff on the red carpet. So they shut that down, which is like some of the press is like it's kind of it's almost more detrimental because you don't give them a chance to defend, like, the creative, artistic side of things, and they're just that gives us nothing to focus on but this issue. For me, I guess where it kind of hit home is I hadn't really thought about, because the Dark Knight had a shooting, was in Colorado.
Yeah, Aurora.
Aurora, yeah. And, I mean, that was horrible. And so I think they're kind of, like, going along that vein since the Joker was involved in that or whatever. But they're putting out these warnings and stuff. And I hadn't really thought, taken it seriously. And then I'm considering seeing this movie in New York during a large convention for this type of stuff. And I was like, well, I wonder if that's the smartest idea given the circumstances. And then I kind of hated myself for having thought that.
I think it's normal to think that.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to not act on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, I have to, like, actively think to not act on it. You know what I mean? Like, push myself against it. Like, if I have that worry in the back of my head, I think that's... I think a lot of places are doing due diligence to prevent any type of environment like this. I mean, that kind of thing. And then I had a friend who was like, well, you know, I think the real danger lies in, like, the smaller towns rather than the big things where you'd least expect it. But I don't know. Anyway, it's a horrible environment to be in, and it's kind of weird that it's even become a subject to... like, the movie's not out, so we can't even really judge how realistic these warnings pertain or anything. I don't know.
They're totally... I mean, it's a frustrating topic because on the one hand, I get the concerns and I get the link. And this whole conversation sort of started because the Aurora families, you know, wrote to Warners. And they weren't saying you should pull the movie, but they were saying, like, we think you should, you know, oppose the NRA and support some politicians who are supporting gun control and use your voice to speak out against violence, you know, and all this stuff, all of which are perfectly legitimate. But that feels like, to me, it sort of snowballed. And I read the Army's sort of release to its people, and I feel like it's the kind of thing, like the press just drives me absolutely berserk because you're right, this is what they want to talk about. Well, if Warner, I think it's great that Warners is keeping the press out of the opening, because now the press is going to blame Warners and say, oh, this you're not giving us any, well, you know, wait 12 hours and go watch a freaking movie and report on it later, you know, because I think the press is solely responsible for making this a thing, you know, repeatedly, you know, talking about it. And yeah, now at Penn Cinema locations, we've, you know, been in discussions with local police and, you know, we're going to have an extra, you know, police presence. Not because we feel it's needed by any stretch, but because we feel like our customers will appreciate the extra security. Right. You know, they'll appreciate knowing that, you know, we made the extra effort. It's frustrating because the movie, I think, really speaks to... It's a beautiful movie. I mean, it's dark and awful, and it's just dark, but it's such a well-done movie and such a, you know, it's an incredible piece of art, you know, and piece of work that it's just, to me, frustrating that people want to sort of hone in on this. But at the same time, like the Joker, it also speaks to the degree to which the Joker speaks to people as a frustrated, I mean, everybody feels like they are, you know, get bullied, whether you're actually a kid getting bullied in school or you're getting bullied by the banks or the people you owe taxes to or your boss, you know what I mean, or your wife or your husband or whatever. You know, a lot of people feel like they are at times powerless against sort of these bigger, less caring sort of forces in their life. And I think that speaks to why the Joker is such an iconic character and why it has become this massive, you know, thing.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, I think it's really unfortunate that they're putting so much energy, and here we are echoing it and talking about it ourselves, so I guess we're just as guilty. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait till Saturday morning when, you know, it's no longer opening day, and now people can talk about the movie.
Yeah, yeah, and I think some of this is like, you know, the military put a thing out, but I think they do the same thing for.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the sporting event is coming up. Like, be aware, it could be danger. This, you know, and it's just that it's being run with, and then just
listen.
Cycled.
They had a bomb at the finish line of Boston. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you don't go run the Boston Marathon? I think it was 2013. Does that mean you don't run marathons anymore? Does that mean you don't go to big public sporting events? There's lots of places that are high risk, you know, mm-hmm. for terrorists. And it's awful that that's part of the world. But that doesn't mean that you don't go live your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? That you know, and I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's a judgment call you have to make for yourself. You know, if you're not secure in the situation, then...
Yeah. Come out on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's yeah.
But, well, so there you have it. That's our thoughts on the whole Joker issue going on right now. So.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. Dun.
But on a much lighter note. Much, much lighter note.
Spider-Man. Whatever a spider pig can.
Is that the theme song? Did you sing it? Spider-Man's back with the MCU, baby.
Spider-Man or Spider-Pig?
Man.
Spider-Man.
Man.
That's big news then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's legit.
And it's Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Pig's a Simpsons character. So, MCU.
That's the one I was talking about, was the Simpsons.
Right, yeah.
No, I was.
Fox crossover now?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I was.
So they could. They could. So... Marvel and Sony reached an agreement.
Okay.
And I think it's, I don't remember the numbers, but it's less than 50-50, but it's an agreeable amount to keep, make one more Spider-Man movie.
Ding! Previously on the Penn Cinema podcast. Wasn't it just a few weeks ago we were talking about this? We were talking about the big breakup and blah, blah, blah. And I forget if it was you or me, but one of us was like, they'll come back together.
Yeah. I'm so glad that it's happening, and they say it's for just one more, but I think it's going to be like one of the. It's going to be a Robert Downey Jr. like just one more.
It's the same thing we said a number of weeks ago. As long as there's hundreds of millions of dollars on the table, people will find a way to make that work.
Yeah, I read that this is a little bit of speculation, but I was reading that Marvel was a little concerned about other properties because of the loss of Spider-Man. Which apparently.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, apparently. I guess Captain Marvel was slated to be the new big character, and she didn't pan. Like it's good, but she didn't pan as lovable as a character as they wanted. So their plan was, this is again speculation from what I've been reading, that they were going to pair her up with Spider-Man to like help soften and give the character more personality with their banter back and forth, because Spider-Man's so relatable, and then grow her from that. In some form of fashion. I don't know if that'll actually happen. But they were concerned about if they were going to move forward with Captain Marvel properties because of this. So I think it's interesting because in the slate of Marvel movies, there was no Spider-Man on the ticket. And now I think the next, it's 2022 or whatever, is now that this is out, they're like, okay, good, the next movie's in 2022, directed by the same guy, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is amazing. I hope that they can if they make one more Spider-Man movie and then he just makes cameos, kind of like Robert Downey Jr. did, like I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. My favorite line from this whole thing comes from Kevin Feige, who
is that the new guy behind the new Star Wars?
Yeah, you might have heard about him.
Yeah.
Previously. He's like, oh, it's so great to have him back, and it's amazing that we have this new hero who's the only one with the special superpower to be in two different cinematic universes at the same time. I love that line because he was simultaneously saying how it was great to have Spider-Man back and also saying Sony's shit universe of Spider-Man characters has nothing to do with us. So Venom, the Madam Web movie they're talking about bringing out. They're all their own thing. Tom Holland may play Spider-Man in there, but he's not the same Spider-Man as in our movies.
Interesting.
So I thought, I was like, I like that dig.
God, I hope Venom 2 isn't in trouble.
Venom 2 in trouble?
What?
I can't believe it.
We got trailers to talk about this week. Short list of trailers, but thank God there's some good ones in there.
I know.
And Tom Holland
is in one of them. All right.
What?
All right. I think we should start.
Why don't you lead us through these?
Yeah. I'm going to start with a movie called The Shed. Did we talk about this movie before? Because I felt like we did when I watched the trailer.
I don't
remember. And then I was like, I don't think we did. I think we talked about a movie where a kid had his like parents turned into a monster and he was like a latchkey kid. Remember? It was like a horror thing.
Yeah.
And he went to school.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. This kind of looks, it's like a horror comedy type thing.
This film called The Shed.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by a company called A Bigger Boat Productions. Okay?
Yeah.
And obviously a Jaws reference. Mm-hmm. And the logo at the beginning of the trailer for A Bigger Boat Productions is one of those gigantic barrels that yank out of the back of the boat in Jaws, mm-hmm. that the shark eats. Wait a minute. I want to ask you a direct question.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Jaws?
Yeah, I have watched Jaws.
Because right, you look blank, like you know, like you're not following.
No, I was thinking... They dump them out for him to get, right?
Well, the idea is you stab the shark with your harpoon, and then the barrels floats. Slow him down.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you put like 100 barrels, he'll go really slow.
Right.
But not when you're the big shark in Jaws.
Right.
Jaws, one of my favorite movies.
Right. Based on a true story.
Right, obviously. So the logo for A Bigger Boat Productions, mm-hmm. is one of those barrels. And written on the side of the barrel, it says A Bigger Boat Productions.
Right.
The reason why I tell you all this is because that name for your company and the logo is the best part of this trailer. That's the only thing I liked about this trailer was that somebody had a company to make movies and named the company Bigger Boat Productions. I think that's great.
I think one of the stars in it is Billy from Stranger Things.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
I think. It looks dumb. Basically, I don't quite understand it. A guy has a shed, and there's a monster in the shed that he claims wants to kill him, that doesn't leave the shed, but kills anyone they put in front of the shed.
Except for him,
who it wants to kill.
Right.
And so he shows his friend, and they're like, hey, we have these bullies. Now's our chance to get them back. And all I'm thinking about is, like, the circumstances. You'd have to, like, constantly convince people to come to this one space. and it's like, it's not like a roaming villain. It's like in a shed. This looks dumb.
Don't waste your minutes. I would even say, like, last week we had an awful trailer. I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both said, like, if you have 2.5 minutes to spare, like, go watch this trailer because it's so awful you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Like, this trailer, in my mind, is so awful it's not even worth, like, making fun of.
Yeah. Yeah, there isn't much to say on this one.
Yeah.
But there weren't a lot of trailers this week, so I made the list.
Okay.
All right. Hit me with one.
All right. My new Tom Holland movie.
Okay. All right.
He's the voice, and I don't think he has a major role, but he's the voice in Spies in Disguise, starring Will Smith.
I think he does have a major role.
Is he the kid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the kid.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't recognize that. Yeah. So he is starring with Will Smith. This movie, the more I see trailers of it, the more I want to see it. I think it looks hilarious. The premise is this is an animated from Blue Sky Media or something.
That's what I wanted to... What else have they done?
I forget, but good stuff.
Okay.
I'm blanking on it, but I know they've done good stuff.
Okay, because I was seeing it and I was like, Blue Sky? Like, do they make candy bars or something?
No. What's the... Oh, there's... I don't want to say Incredibles, but they... That's DreamWorks.
No, Incredibles is Pixar. And then DreamWorks is like Shrek.
Anyway, I'll post it on our Facebook page, but Blue Sky has done good animated movies before.
All right, cool.
And it stars Will Smith, and he's like this super spy, James Bond type, you know, dressed to the nines. And
always dressed for the occasion, they say.
Yeah.
So he's always got like some gadget.
Right. And his little, the version of James Bond's Q, I think it's Q, has him drink this potion. He's supposed to take like a sip of it, and he drinks the whole entire cup. Turns into a pigeon and then fights crime. So I think it looks hilarious. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I like that this one had a lot more plot to the trailer than the other stuff that we've seen for it. So this one really got me on board.
Yeah.
So definitely check that one out if you're into animated movies. Another one to check out if you're into animated movies, and I keep saying this every time this comes up, Frozen 2. I haven't seen the first one. The trailers for Frozen 2 make me want to watch the first one, and I don't know why I keep forgetting to do it, but this looks really good. Like, as for like a Disney film, like, I'm fully on board with this. And it's like, I mean, I know that the first one and this one have like that girl power undertone, but like, I really liked the way that it's put out there. Like, just how in the trailer, this Elsa's like, you don't have to follow me into a firestorm. And Anna's like, well, then don't go into a firestorm.
Stop running into firestorms. Yeah. Circles of fire.
Yeah. It's like she's got her back no matter what. Yeah. So she has to understand that. I thought that was really cool. The line, she was like, well, you know, I climbed this mountain and I saved you from my murderous ex-boyfriend. Like, of course I'm coming with you for this thing. So.
And then Olaf is just so perfect. I thought his comedy after, you know how like at the end of the trailer it says Frozen 2 and then there's a little bit of, those little bits are getting funnier and funnier, and this, the line from Olaf that I liked is like, he's like, so is this putting ourselves in mortal danger going to be like a regular thing now?
Or? There's like rocks throw at him and stuff.
So funny.
Yeah. So I'm totally on board with
my Frozen 2. Trailer of the week.
Oh.
Spies in Disguise.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about it, but it made me laugh. It got me excited for the movie. And so my trailer of the week, Spies in Disguise. Where are you at?
My trailer of the week's going to be Frozen 2.
Okay.
But we have one more trailer.
We got a good one left.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Crackle and pop.
This goes in the vein of horrible trailer that you need to
go
look.
You need to stop what you're doing. Press pause on the podcast and go watch. Although if you just press pause, then you're not hearing me talk anymore. This is super awkward.
Weird. When do they come back? I don't know.
How long do we give them?
Now. Okay. You gotta see Primal. You gotta watch the trailer for Primal.
Primal was listed in the show notes today as Primal. Also known as Penn's new favorite movie.
And I know I'm on board.
Nicolas Cage stars. Now, is this going to be one of those things where, like, once the podcast goes live, you guys are all going to start writing in and be like, oh, we tricked Penn again. This movie came out in 2012.
I found it on the okay. You never know. I found it on the IMDb new trailers list.
Okay.
It's sorted by recent.
2019. So. Do we have a release date?
I'm pretty sure it's 20. I'm going to look it up.
No, it is.
Right now.
It is 2019 because it's November 8th.
That's right. It's coming out.
In theaters and on demand.
Yeah.
Which is always a good sign. It's always a good sign for quality filmmaking.
When they're willing to put it anywhere.
Right.
You know that it's got to be worth it.
Right, right.
Here we have Nicolas Cage, who I think is some sort of animal wrangler.
Okay. He's like a... Yeah.
Right?
I think he sells live exotic animals on the black market.
Okay. And he's moving animals from point A to point B on a boat.
Including a 400-pound white jaguar.
Right. And the army, or some sort of militaristic type thing, starring Femke Jenkins.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. She, in a horrible-looking wig, is transporting some rogue military super soldier dude.
A la Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. And we got to get him to point A to point B. Don't trust him. He's notorious.
What was the Nicolas Cage movie where it was Con Air?
Oh.
Where they had a plane full of people tied down and locked up.
Yeah. He doesn't have the glorious hair that he had in Con Air in this one, unfortunately. And then I guess the guy gets out. And then he also, to cause diversions, lets all the animals out.
Oh.
And so now they got all these crazy wild animals on this boat. And I watched this trailer and I'm like, would animals like act like this? Just instinctively, would they just go on a rampage? Wouldn't they hide or like find some place to just like ride it out?
Did you know that I'm an animal activist now?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's true.
From this movie?
Yeah. I rescued a little baby bunny out of the pool yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
Amy told me that this bunny had fallen in the pool and drowned.
And I was like, well, we better get out of the pool because that sounds gross.
Yeah.
So I went and got my net. And to my glee, I discovered the baby was not, in fact, drowned. It was just trapped. It was on the first step going in. So it had, like, water up to its waist. And it was scared and shivering and trapped.
Oh, my gosh.
And I rescued it. I picked it out with the pool net and put it in the near the bushes. And it hopped and ran away to safety.
Wow.
And I felt like it was the greatest thing I did all week.
Wow.
That's the best thing I've done from the last time we recorded to this moment was save that little bunny.
Wow.
Now I think I'm going to go visit the Langster Farm Sanctuary and see what they're doing out there in E-Town.
What are you guys doing? Let me tell you about the thing that I did.
Yeah.
Let's see how much money you're willing to fork over for my new
this
nonprofit.
This is all very well and good, but let me tell you about this bunny.
He's out there somewhere living his life.
Living his best life. Just like Marley.
That's right. Wow.
So anyway, I tell you that story as a long way of agreeing with you that, yeah, if you uncage a bunch of animals, they're going to run away and find a corner to hide in, except for maybe the jaguar.
Right.
Who's going to be hungry?
The line from this one is they're like, if you see someone, if you see the bad guy, shoot him. And if you see the jaguar, shoot it. And then Nicolas Cage is like, if you kill that jaguar, I'll blow your head off.
No, that's not what he says.
What does he say?
He says, if you kill my cat.
Oh, if you kill my cat.
I'll blow your head off, yeah.
And he looks full on crazy Nicolas Cage. Like, you've seen him crazy before. Here he is once again.
This is the perfect example of a movie of why on-demand movies should exist. Because I will definitely get out a pint of ice cream and watch this movie at home when I can't sleep, like late night. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
A bowl of Frosted Mini Wheats. A bowl of Frosted Mini Wheats and a cup of coffee and maybe some Pop-Tarts.
And a pint of ice cream.
And a pint of ice cream watching this movie at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
A.K.A. heaven.
Wow.
But you know what I really wanted to do?
This is why you run 20 miles every day.
I had a great snarky response to this trailer.
Okay, yeah.
Right. I liked this movie better when they called it Snakes on a Plane. Isn't that the thing that like super hip like movie snobs? Like whenever a movie resembles a different movie from 10 years ago,
they
like to say, oh, I liked this movie better when it was called The Godfather.
That's very true.
Yes.
This awesome movie is also like The Godfather. I don't know if you picked up on that. All right. Well, that's our trailers for this week. What was going on at the theater this week? What's the big news? What's the happy haps?
Well... We had a funny story last night that I'm not going to tell on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it would be inappropriate.
Nice, alluding to bonus content that I can get later.
Yeah, so if you see me around town, if you see me waiting in line at Do-Si-Do, ask me about the funny story.
Okay.
And I'll tell it to you. But I don't want to put it out there because David told me that what we say on the podcast lives forever. So I don't want this story to live forever or be misconstrued. But we had a pretty quiet, pretty straightforward weekend. You know, it's the end of September. We're all sort of chilling, counting the days till Joker opens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty much.
Any movement in the top three?
No.
Still Downton, Rambo, Ad Astra. Yeah. Dad Astra, I mean.
Dad Astra. I do have to tell you something interesting that happened to me this week.
Oh.
I meant to talk about this at the top of the show.
Oh.
I'm going to keep doing the podcast.
Okay.
Okay. So I just say that out front. You know, this news I'm about to share is not going to change my relationship with the Penn Cinema podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to continue to participate.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, I am now a two-time cow milking contest MC. Oh. And I've been invited back for a third year.
Oh, snap.
And I just want to say, we had 300 people show up for the cow milking contest.
Say what?
And it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome.
How many years do you have to do it before you milk a cow?
Infinity. Plus one. I know I said I'm an animal activist and everything, but that's all kind of bullshit if it means like I'm going to milk a cow. I'm not. I saw the cow and there's no way I'm going to go stick my hand in the butt and squeeze it and hope some milk comes out.
In the butt. Like, were you there? Do you understand how cows work?
Listen, last year I got attacked by the cow.
What?
And then this year, the one cow, Midori, there was two cows, Mango and Midori.
Yeah.
And Mango was chill. The winning team had Mango.
Yeah.
Partly because they had a former dairy princess. Which, by the way, fun fact, people who are dairy princesses don't like to be called Dairy Queen. They will correct you and say, that's a restaurant. So,
come on.
Please, you know, yeah. I'm a dairy princess. Or I was a dairy princess 30 years ago when we were all in high school. That was the unspoken part. But no, I'm teasing because it was fun. But yeah, so we had a legit dairy princess on there and a couple experienced milkers. And that team with Mango won. But the other reason, now that's partly why they won.
Were they milking the cow and like you locked eyes? It was like really awkward.
There was two different cows.
Oh.
And each team like took turns having 90 seconds to milk the cow and whoever could get the most milk won.
Yeah.
But this other cow, Midori, was obviously rabid. She was foaming at the mouth, and every single time they tried to milk her, she kicked the bucket over. She would start thrashing about in there and kick the bucket. I think the cow didn't like getting milked. So what I'm going to do, don't tell anyone. This is just between us and our handful of listeners.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak in and free that cow.
You gonna let it out in the bushes in your backyard?
No, I'm gonna take it and yeah, with the bunny.
They're now living together.
I'm gonna start the old Penn Ketchum Animal Sanctuary. Yeah. So anyway, the reason why I mention this, I'm sorry for the major diversion here from our actual news, but the reason I mention this is because this year, as part of the cow milking contest, after that we had a it was called a pig drop. But don't worry, don't write in. We weren't dropping pigs. They were dropping little stuffed animals.
Okay.
Like squishy, you know, the squishy, mm-hmm. like it's a stress ball, but it's in the shape of a cow or shape of a pig or shape mm-hmm. of whatever. This guy goes up 75 feet in the air in his tree trimming bucket truck and drops them. And every animal has a number, and whichever number hits the bullseye, you know, comes closest to the bullseye, that whoever had that cow wins the prize.
Oh, wow.
So there was a ton of people. So I'm narrating this whole thing. This guy's rising in the bucket. I'm narrating the whole thing. And I say, look at him go. He's heading up to the stars. You might even say ad astra. Now, in all modesty, I was having a great night.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I said, people were laughing.
Oh, I bet.
Cheering.
Yeah.
I had the crowd in a frenzy. They were screaming. There was little kids there cheering on their teachers. It was great. I deliver this killer joke about Ad Astra.
Crickets?
Crickets upon crickets. It was so bad. It was like... somebody get the cane.
Somebody came up and they were like, maybe next year's not a great idea.
All of a sudden, my third year was in jeopardy. Maybe we'll keep looking.
I mean, keep it open, but...
Right.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, I had a great time at the Effort Affair. Really enjoyed that experience. That's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So should we do the movie review for Rambo Bino?
Yeah, starring Rocky Balboa.
Rambo, Last Blood, starring the new star of Samaritan.
Hot off the press.
You know what would make my day? What would be great is if Samaritan, which we're sitting here laughing about it because we know nothing about it. What if Samaritan turns out to be like the greatest movie in the history of movies? And then 100 years from now, Stallone is known for that role.
That would be crazy.
And movie snobs are like... you might not know this about Sylvester Stallone.
Pinkies out.
But he was actually in other movies before he was in Samaritan. He was in a movie about professional boxing.
Yeah. Before the Samaritan franchise took off.
Right.
Oh, man. Rambo.
Rambo.
I want to know what you thought about Rambo Last Blood. A.K.A. Home Alone, Part 4, Last Blood.
Home Alone, Part 4. I'm not sure I totally get the reference, but maybe it'll come to me. I don't know. I read something a comment, and I don't know if I wouldn't say that it spoiled the movie for me, but it was ringing around in my head while I was watching the movie, and I agree with it 100%. The movie was a little longer than an hour and a half, right?
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Yeah, it was just over an hour and a half. The last 20 minutes or 25 minutes when the Mexican bad guys come up to his ranch.
Mm-hmm. The Home Alone part.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Boy, you swing one paint can from a rope, and all of a sudden the pinky crowd is calling it Home Alone.
I like this movie better when it was called Home Alone.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking. Yes, yes, thank you, David. That 20 or 25 minutes is easily the, I mean.
It's the movie.
Do you call it revenge porn? Like, it was so, like, I mean, I know that's a thing, and I know that's not what you call it. Please don't write me. But I'm just saying, like, it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, to see, like, just to see him kicking ass, like, bam, 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 bam. Like, yeah. Just one after another. Pitchforks and falling into pits of spikes. It was reminiscent of all the stuff that he learned in Vietnam and all those awful things in some of the earlier movies. And, oh, man, it was just awesome.
That was great. Overall, the movie, I don't know where I place it because I'm kind of like, you know, it wasn't great, but it also just felt like a Rambo movie. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, there wasn't a lot to it. He felt his age in it, which I thought was
good.
Did a good job at that.
Yep.
I like that, like, a subtle thing that I didn't catch during it, but I was listening to a review about it later. It was like he was taking the pills for, which I'm assuming was like the flashbacks and, mm-hmm. and stuff. So he wasn't on his prime. And when the first time he goes down to Mexico and he decides.
He was like soft.
Yeah. And thus he gets taken off guard.
Yeah.
And they capture him and
yeah.
all the bad stuff happens.
Up.
Yeah. And then, you know, he becomes more like himself the less he's away from, or the more he's away from the drugs.
So that's the moral of the story, boys and girls.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. You heard it here first.
Yeah. It's kind of like funny because like everyone in it is expendable. Like the family, like they're not from another part of the franchise. It's just kind of like.
You're talking about how like he comes back to the ranch and he's like, go live with your sister.
Yeah, well,
and then she does, and we never see her again.
Yeah, or even how it starts off, it's like, who are these people that he's living with? Like that, right. Like half of the movie, I was just like, how is he connected to these? Was he related to the mom? Or like,
right?
What? Did you just?
Didn't it turn out he was her uncle?
Well, they kept calling her
Uncle John.
Uncle John, but I don't know if that's just because he took her in, because the lady was her mother, so it wasn't his mother. The other lady was living at the house. So I don't know. And then they, like, I don't know if he just found, like, an abusive relationship and kind of stepped in.
Hmm.
I was like, so apparently not everyone in Mexico is evil, but everyone currently living in Mexico when he's in Mexico is fully evil.
Not the lady. Oh, yeah.
Even the friend.
She wasn't from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the friend was like, helped her find her dad, and she goes down, and she's like, oh, this is a nice place. I live in a nice place, too. And the friend's just like, why are you judging me? It's like, what is going on? Yeah.
So, yeah, it was whatever.
Yeah.
My thing was, I agree with you. I felt like I was watching a Rambo movie, and I felt like I was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which was fine. It was great. This was one of those movies where, like, I'm not saying it's a great movie or whatever. I'm not really... But I'm just saying, like, it was exactly what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. It was very much exactly what I intended. And the running time is not long, and it's fine.
That's perfect.
It didn't feel short. It didn't feel long. It felt acceptable. What did you think about the penultimate moment of violence in the movie?
When he pulls the heart out?
The guy's somehow still awake and alive
to look at his own heart.
Yeah.
That's great. What? I don't get it. What's the problem? It makes perfect sense.
I was laughing at that. I was like, come on. And it was great.
Yeah, I can see why that would bother you, because the rest of the Rambo franchise is so grounded in medical, you know, sense.
Okay, here's my big question on this movie. Do you think he dies at the end?
Well, I do.
I want to believe that, yeah.
Yes.
But everyone I've talked to is like, no, I don't think so.
No.
He's still rocking.
He's absolutely dead. I mean, the whole point is that this was the last blood.
Yeah.
And even in the trailer, they sort of underscored that by revealing, it was a little bit of a spoiler, but even remember in all the trailers, they have that scene where he's walking up to the bad guy with the four arrows stuck in him.
Yeah.
And you can see the bullet holes in the back of Rambo's back.
Right.
Like, you know, he's already, you know,
been hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like he went and then died. Because I was like, there's no way, if he survived, one,
right,
that he's not just spending the rest of his life in jail.
Right.
Because it's like, right, he's got like 20 bodies on, right, his property.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my position on that.
Yeah.
I think he dies. And if he doesn't, and there's another Rambo movie, mm-hmm, I'm going to take offense. Like, what's the name? Like, I'm all for, like, every, like, some of my friends were like, oh, I can't believe they're making another Rambo movie. That's so stupid. And I'm like sticking up for him and defending. No, no, no. He wraps up the franchise and sort of puts a period at the end of the sentence. That's great. It's all, yeah, good, you know. But now, if there's another movie called Rambo, the really Last Blood.
Last Blood 2. Or
Last Blood 2. Come on. Yeah. I don't buy it.
I think this is it.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. All right. So are you on board with Rambo?
I'm bored. On board. I am
you're
on
board.
No, I am on board because it is exactly what you think it's going to be.
And for that reason, I'll say I'm on board too. All right.
Glad, yeah, I could talk you into that one.
Yeah. All right. Listener notes and questions.
Do you think anybody cares
what we think?
Yeah.
I think that.
Like, is there anybody who's like out there deciding whether or not to go watch Rambo? And they're like, oh, wait a minute. Penn and David, you know, sounded like Penn needed to talk David into it a little bit.
I think
I'm going to go see Downton Abbey instead.
If we did a straw poll of all the people in the lobby, they'd be like, are these paper straws? So that's your answer.
All right. On to my favorite part of the show.
Listener notes and questions.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. First off, I want to give a shout out. There's not a note here to Arden, who sent a message today, seeing some stuff on Facebook, and she said, "How do I get these podcast things?" So, Arden, if you're listening,
what's up?
What's up? Welcome to the wonderful world of podcasting.
Congratulations!
Yeah,
you unlocked the mystery of podcasts.
So, welcome to the show. So, also, Pirate Dave and a million other people pointed out that the wave was the wrong year. But we already talked about that.
Did you count? Is it really a million? Or was it like a few hundred thousand? I know it was a lot.
Yeah, it was like 99. You know, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Okay.
Shout out to those of you who chose to just let me believe it was current.
or who just verbally said to me and didn't write it.
Right.
Because there were some of those. Joel Cornett, he brings up the fact that Apple is trying to go the way of Amazon and Netflix, and they want to put their stuff in theaters for a few weeks pre-Apple Plus.
So in other words, they want to make money on their movies.
Right. Or they want to be, I guess, more reputable. Amazon's doing a good job at it, right? Didn't you say they were really putting it forward?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and we'll see how Netflix goes now that the...
See what the Irishman...
Irishman puts out.
I was invited to a screening.
Mm.
Netflix presents The King, starring so-and-so and Edgar Talson, the guy from Goldfinch. What's his name?
Oh.
Talon Edgerton or something?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because it's not as high profile as The Irishman, but it's the similar type of scenario.
Isn't that the one that we reviewed the trailer for with Rob Battenbatt in it?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
Robert Pattinson is the gentleman's name, sir.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't realize we were serious over here.
Excuse me. Yes, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Is the professional actor.
Yeah.
Who shall from this day forth be shown the courtesy and respect that
we
has
showed
earned.
Robert Battenbatt
right.
Previously.
Batty Bats, what's up? I wish I had a friend named Batty Bats. I'm going to pick a friend and just start calling him Batty Bats.
Yeah, not me, but
you know the
one.
Mystery Gobble?
Yeah.
He's in my phone as Flash.
What?
Because I was telling him, he and I were talking about how we wish we had a cool nickname like Flash.
So you gave it to
so
him?
I just did it.
Wow. Yeah. And then he evolved into the Mystery Gobble.
Yeah, but don't tell anyone. I don't want anyone to know that Mystery Gobble and Flash are one and the same. So my position on this Apple thing.
Yeah.
So what's – I mean, I feel like we've discussed that the whole thing is – streaming thing is very fluid. It's right. Evolving at a very fast rate. But our current position is like Netflix is kind of – coming along. Amazon, I think, has said and I think is demonstrating a pretty good commitment to the theatrical experience. And then now do we have Apple sort of trying to see where they're going to fit in? I think it's going to turn out that they all go down a road. You can't spend $200 million on a movie and not run it through the theaters.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the difference that I'm noticing between these movies. And I want to see what you think. Amazon is putting out movies that feel like indie films.
Mm.
Right? They're good movies that, you know, I would have seen. I would have seen at Midtown.
Like Juno.
Yeah. Right? But then they're getting a wider release because of the streaming service, in my opinion. More people will see them.
I think that's a fair.
Now, Netflix, I feel, is making, not always, but in general, I feel like their movies are good, but they still feel like cable television film.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, maybe the production value isn't, the stories are good, but the production value isn't quite theatrical level. Right. Now,
AKA Adam Sandler.
Yeah, exception would be like
The Irishman.
The Irishman. Well, movies that aren't heavy on effects,
right?
Or like a story-driven, more of a story-driven thing rather than like a sci-fi or whatever, or historical or whatever. Now, Apple, and this is, I mean, we haven't seen the results yet, but from the trailers, Apple feels like an HBO style, like much higher production. And they're paying for the big stars right out of the bat. Like, Amazon's got people you don't know do an amazing job. Netflix has people you've seen as secondary characters and other things, maybe getting a starring role.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon,
Jennifer Aniston,
Hailee Steinfeld, starring straight up in the things that are coming out.
Yeah.
And that feels more Hollywood, if that's the right way of saying
yeah.
it. Now, we don't know what it's going to be like because we haven't seen it yet, but it's weird because I don't know what that's a result of, if it's actually going to be that kind of quality or if it's just that because Apple has so much money already, they can invest in this new endeavor.
Unlike little Amazon.
Yeah. Unlike little Amazon. But Amazon's got its hand in so many things.
No,
it's
I know.
So diversified. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
all right. We heard from the Shadow this week.
Yeah.
Talk to us.
Shadow wrote in and he said, now's the season. he says, Penn might not be aware of this, but it's time for the spice to flow. And he made a Dune reference because the pumpkin spice is here and 'tis the time for the spice, which is all about, Dune's all about the spice.
What are we doing, a cooking show now?
Yeah. Yeah. Cooking, the Pets in the cooking section with the spice. He also made some comment about how Hulu was going to buy up your Netflix advertising. I didn't get that one. Did you?
No.
All right. Well, Hulu wants to buy your Netflix
advertising. Shadow, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Come out of the shadows on this one and give us a little bit more.
Step into the light, my friend.
A little bit more. So if you want us to talk about your crazy comments, give us an email over at podcast@pensinema.com. Shoot us a review of a movie you've seen, whatever. We'll talk about it. Questions.
Or we especially like when you make fun of David.
Yeah. That's
which I don't think happens nearly enough.
It should happen more. It should happen a lot more. It's like, don't give me credit I don't deserve. Come at me, bro. All right. What have you been doing? What are you doing outside of the movies?
Well, I just watched Goldfinch.
Okay.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
with the guy whose name I can never remember. It's like Taylor Egerton or something. Talon. Alton.
Anson Talon. Anson Engel?
Elgert.
Elgert. This is the part of the show that everyone complains about but brings them back every time.
Marley is screaming at her phone right now. She knows.
Egert. The guy from The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Love him. Yeah, he's a good actor. He was in something else recently, too. Or at least we saw him in the trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I watched Goldfinch. I loved it. I thought it was really great, powerful. I'm watching a documentary right now, which is a little bit annoying because it's so hip and trendy, but it's like kind of interesting. It's called From the Ground Up, and it's all these professional athletes who are plant-based.
Oh.
And it's remarkable. Like, it's really interesting to see what people are doing, like, how, because athletes, it always used to be all about like eating meat and like you got to have steak and all this kind of stuff. And that's not really the case anymore.
Stakes have been raised
and lowered and eliminated.
And eliminated.
For sakes of the little bunnies and the cows and the bushes.
So I put down that I didn't really do anything this week. I had a week, but that's not true.
What?
I realized as I was sitting here across from the famous author that I read a book called Psalms 23, in other words, this week. So that's what I
and
was
then
up to.
20 seconds later, when you were done reading the book, what'd you do?
I told people about it.
Okay.
I had a copy. I was showing people on Friday at work.
You know what I forgot to put down in the show notes?
What's that?
Amy has been watching Fleabag.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, and I started this like a couple, whenever it first came out, and I couldn't really get into it. But then on the strength of Amy's recommendation, and what's interesting is Amy started, so we'll say it like this. She pulled a pen. She watched Fleabag and accidentally watched season 2 first.
Who stars in Fleabag?
I don't know. Some lady.
Okay.
She's talented. She's really good, but I don't know her name.
Because I was going to say Steve Buscemi, but apparently
not. No. She's, it's a lady, and she just got a ton of Emmys for it. She cleaned up on Emmy night. So anyway, I've been watching that. It's nice because the episodes are like 20 minutes.
Oh.
So it's like you can watch a couple episodes or not. It's like it's not a big commitment.
What's it on?
Prime. Yeah. So anyway, Fleabag. Check it out. I recommend it.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Well, next week.
Whew.
Joker.
Oh, I thought we were going to do Judy.
Judy?
Judy opens next week.
What in the world is Judy?
Judy Garland.
Oh,
with your girl, Renee Zellweger.
I didn't realize that was coming out so soon.
Well, to be perfectly frank, I didn't either. And then we got the chance to open it, so I was like, yeah, we'll absolutely open it.
Because it did look good.
Yeah. No, we'd definitely do The Joker next week. But maybe the week after we'd do Judy or whatever.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to see both of those movies.
Yeah, wow. I saw a poster downstairs for The Lighthouse. I got pumped for that.
Yeah.
You know what I find entertaining for my own brain is when I'm walking through here to do whatever, you know, and I see a poster and I'm like, the heck is this movie? Like, where did this come from? How did we didn't talk about this? I don't know what this movie's about. and then I'm like, it's weird. But anyway.
What happens to me is I walk down the hall and I see these posters and I'm like, what the heck is this movie? And then I find out we just talked about it on the podcast 2 weeks ago.
And it was called Greta.
All right, Joker.
Yeah, cool. So if you want to get in touch with us, best way to do that, podcast@penncinema.com. We want questions. We want to hear what you think of movies. Anything you want to say, make fun of me.
I don't think we want to limit ourselves to questions.
No. Comments.
Answers. I could use answers.
Clearly.
I think we've already established.
There's no one at the helm.
There's nobody at the wheel.
Yeah. Also, we have our running offer, Make Penn Laugh. With an iTunes review or Apple Podcasts.
If you think you're up to it.
Yeah. With a 5-star Hilarioso review. There's some IMAX tickets in it for you. If you can pull it off.
If.
Big if.
Because I'm a pretty serious guy. Yeah.
I've never met anyone quite so serious.
What's up?
So you can find us on Facebook, The Penn Cinema Podcast. Once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care
and party on. We did it together.
Yay!
To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Great.
That was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.